Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Sports Talk Chicago special podcast, a one-on-one interview with the Chicago Bulls radio voice, Chuck Swirsky. My name is John Zagluoff, and I'll be hosting today's show. And I have to say, right off the bat, that I've been looking forward to today's interview for such a long time. Chuck is a pro's pro. I mean, he's been a part of the sports broadcasting industry since 1979. This is a guy who brings so many great stories and great pieces of expertise to the table. Therefore, today's interview should be quite enjoyable and memorable, to say the least. Before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, and on Twitter at John Z Sports. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Single game tickets are available now. Call 708-489-BALL. That's 708-489-2255 to purchase tickets for their next home game. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have so much to talk about with Chuck today. Besides talking about his great career, we also plan on talking about some Chicago Bulls news, as they've made some noteworthy moves, from drafting Wendell Carter Jr. to signing Jabari Parker to a free agent contract. These are franchise-altering moves, and we'll talk to Chuck about what he thinks about Wendell Carter and his development in his rookie year, plus how will Jabari Parker fit in with the Bulls system. Simply put, there's a lot to talk about, and at this time, I want to thank you, the listener, for continuing to support my endeavors. Without you, there wouldn't be any show, and there sure wouldn't be any compelling interviews on the docket. Because of your support, I'm able to talk to some very interesting people, whether it be in sports media or otherwise. Thank you again for your continued support, and I hope you enjoy what's to come. And with that, it's time for our special guest. He began his career in sports media as the host of a nightly sports radio show on WCFL 1000 here in Chicago. By the mid-1990s, he was the voice of the University of Michigan basketball. In 1998, he became the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors, and since 2008, he has been the radio voice of the Chicago Bulls. Today, he's a member of the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, as well as the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. Please welcome the great Chuck Swirsky to the show. Chuck, how are you doing today, and thank you for being here on the show.
I'm doing well. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, Chuck, first off, I wanted to get your impressions on the Bulls and their draft choices, Wendell Carter Jr. and Chandler Hutchison. What are you expecting from these guys in their rookie seasons?
Well, I think both are very promising young players, and only time will tell the production. But, you know, I always look at a young player coming into the league incrementally growing throughout the season. You're going to have some hiccups along the way. There is never a straight line, especially for a rookie. But I'm very, very confident these two players will be terrific additions for this ball club.
You know, in Carter's case, this was a guy who fell to the sixth overall spot, yet has played in summer league better than anyone, as evidenced by his first team all-summer league selection. What has impressed you about his performance so far?
Well, there's a lot to be impressed with. I mean, his instincts are great. Shot blocking, rim protection, fantastic. Low post moves, uses his left hand, very confident when he's on the floor. So I think the Bulls really got a great pick in the lottery with Wendell Carter Jr.
Speaking of some new talent, the Bulls have recently signed former Simeon High School standout Jabari Parker. Now, he's endured multiple injuries throughout his NBA career, but when healthy, he's capable of averaging 20 points per game. What are your thoughts on this signing?
Well, I think it's a no-win situation as far as, you know, for the rest of the league, because I think the Bulls just pulled a major coup on the NBA. I mean, they signed a very young man at 23, as you mentioned. He is very, very capable of getting 20 a night. But again, you know, I'm patient because I want to see him play, you know, 70 games or so. But, you know, what I saw, the small sample size of a year ago coming back from the ACL, I was encouraged. And, I mean, the man can play. He can flat-out score. He loves the game. And now he's playing in his hometown. So I think it's a great situation for Jabari. It's a great situation for the Bulls. And, you know, when Jabari Parker is in that rhythm, and we've seen that, whether it was at Simeon, whether it was at Duke, or with the Milwaukee Bucks, he is a very dangerous player.
You know, I wanted to go to the NBA as a whole for a moment because this year's free agency period has been quite hectic, to say the least. I mean, we're seeing superstars like LeBron James and DeMarcus Cousins move from coast to coast like it's nothing. Is this beneficial to the NBA, or should we see some changes to this current system?
No, you know what? I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, the players have the right to become a free agent and sign with whomever they want. I respect that. And, you know, ownership has a responsibility to put themselves in a position like the Bulls did with Jabari Parker. So I have nothing, regardless of people thinking, well, what about Golden State? What about Houston? What's going on with LeBron and the Lakers? I have no issues whatsoever. I mean, this is the NBA, and you deal with the landscape and the elements of what the NBA and the salary cap is all about. And then it becomes up to ownership and front office to get those players and the coach to coach them. So it's a ripple effect, but at the current state of the NBA, I think it's never been better. I think a lot of fans are into it. The players are being handsomely paid. The owners are making money. So at the end of the day, the fans are rewarded with outstanding talent on the floor.
And at the same time, in that same vein, going into the situation involving Kawhi Leonard, where he was injured, then supposedly sat out in lieu of a new contract, what's your take on his trade to Toronto and the saga that has continued to surround him?
Well, again, you know, I'm not privy to what's going on with San Antonio as far as the inner workings, and I think Greg Popovich did a fantastic job in his post-trade analysis where he thanked Kawhi and, you know, said that Kawhi did everything they asked him to do. And I believe that. And so this was a case of probably the player wanting to be moved and the club, meaning San Antonio, doing the best job they could to satisfy him, getting a very, very good player in DeMar DeRozan. And Jakob Poeltl is a really solid NBA player, and they get the number one that's protected, as we know. But, I mean, DeMar DeRozan can flat-out score. Now, he's not the defensive player that Kawhi Leonard is. Kawhi Leonard is a top-five all-around player in the NBA, but I think San Antonio did the best they could.
We have Chuck Swirsky here on Sports Talk Chicago. And, Chuck, I wanted to shift gears to your personal career in sports. When did you realize that you wanted to be a broadcaster and be involved in sports media?
Well, I mean, when I was 5 years old, I remember breaking my mom's broomstick and used it as a microphone. And I caught the bug very, very, very early. Elementary school, junior high school, high school. And then it went to college and so on and so forth. So at the end of the day, when someone says, you know, how did you fall into this? I didn't fall into it. I embraced it. It was a passion.
You know, I wanted to ask, and I've heard this story, I think, before on some other radio shows, but is it true that when you were in fifth grade and sixth grade, you'd go to some community basketball games and do play-by-play at such a young age?
That's correct. The fifth grade, I remember going to not only a community event, but also a high school event, and I would take a tape recorder into the stands, and I would do play-by-play. And there was a radio station in a suburb of Seattle where I grew up in Bellevue, Washington, which is not a suburb anymore. It's a full-fledged major city in the state of Washington. But in those days, it was a suburb. And they had a radio station, KFKF. And I remember many times going into that radio station and they would let me polish records, take out the trash, do whatever I could to be a part of a radio station. And the sports director, who would do a game of the week, he would allow me to keep stats, but then he would allow me to do the halftime show. And so when I got into high school, I would take my little tape recorder with a microphone, and I would record a coach, an athlete, and they would play at the halftime.
And you mentioned, you know, growing up in Bellevue, Washington. So how'd you make that transition from Washington State to becoming such a prolific figure here in Chicago?
Well, after I graduated from high school, I got a partial scholarship to attend Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. And that school is renowned for their communication program, one of the best in the country, in my opinion, if not the best, because it was practical experience. I was able to go on the air as a freshman in college. I was able to do high school football and basketball play-by-play. I later did Ohio University sports. I was doing sports talk. I was doing sports cast. I was interviewing. I was doing television work. And by the way, I was doing academic work as well with a degree. But it was a fantastic four-year experience. In fact, I actually graduated in 3.5 years. But nonetheless, the bottom line is that I went to school in the Midwest, got an internship at NBC Radio in Cleveland. And from there, I went back home to Seattle, was a glorified gopher, so to speak, at KIRO Radio in Seattle, worked under a terrific player, former players, with the Seattle Seahawks and Steve Rabel, who is now the voice of the Seahawks, the broadcaster and sports director, Pete Gross, unbelievable human being, great mentor, and mentoring is something that I received from not only Pete Gross, Ernie Harwell, the legendary late voice of the Detroit Tigers, Vince Bagley, who's 91 years old and still doing a fantastic job bringing the great ambassadorship to Baltimore. He was a legend as a sportscaster with the WBAL. So all these people, Joe Tate, the voice of the Cavs, I could not be where I am without them.
Now, you spent over a decade with the Raptors going to play-by-play. But then you came back to Chicago, so take me through how the opportunity arose and how you came back to where it all started here in Chicago.
Well, I mean, I was doing the Raptors, and I love Canada, and I love the Raps, but as you know, Chicago is Chicago, and the Bulls are the Bulls. So when I received a phone call in May of 2008, wanting to know whether or not I was interested in coming back, I obviously... well, was very interested, and things worked out where here I am going on year number 11. It goes quickly.
And since coming back to Chicago, you've been inducted into the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, as well as the WGN Radio Walk of Fame. How much have these honors meant to you?
Well, I mean, it means a lot. I mean, the time I spent at WGN Radio was awesome. I worked with some great, great people. Jack Brickhouse, in my opinion, is the greatest Chicago sportscaster in the history of this city. And I worked with him for a year and a half before he really retired. But he was an awesome, awesome person. You know, Bob Collins, the morning drive host, incredible. Roy Leonard, I mean, I can go right down the list. Wally Phillips, Milt Rosenberg, the outstanding news department, weather, traffic, all the people that, you know, support us on the air, because we were a family, and it was great, and it was very touching that they honored me this summer, along with the Illinois Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame as well, because I have tremendous respect for our coaches. And when my father died when I was a little boy, actually a high school basketball coach who I befriended with his son, who was a year behind me in school, but this coach would take us to every high school game, college game, pro games, and I couldn't have done it without him. I really couldn't.
And on a final note, with you being such a legendary figure in sports media, what's your advice for young broadcasters trying to make it in the business today?
Well, there are many opportunities now with digital work, with the opportunity to get out and just do it. And my advice is, number one, be yourself. Secondly, work hard. I mean, there's no substitute for hard work. And if you don't bring the passion, the drive, the dedication, the enthusiasm, and the skill set every day, you're not going to make it. And you cannot allow yourself to feel sorry for yourself or use the word entitlement. Every day, when I do a Bulls game, I'm very honored, I'm very blessed, but I never, ever take it for granted. And the thing that I want to encourage young people, keep grinding. It's a mountain. You're going to climb it, and you're going to scale back. You're going to get back up. You're going to climb that mountain, and then you're going to dip a little bit. But you got to keep battling, because one day, if you really want it bad enough and you're willing to pay the price, you will climb that mountain, and you will stay on top.
Well, Chuck, thank you so much for being on the show. It was such a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. What an honor it was to have Chuck Swirsky on today's show as we talked about his amazing broadcasting career plus some Chicago Bulls news. And before we wrap up things today, let's go to the announcer's call of the day segment. Having Chuck Swirsky on was such a pleasure, so let's play a great call of his. At the time, the Bulls were in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, and they were facing the Boston Celtics. The game was tied at 123 with 41 seconds left in overtime number 3. This was a hectic and crazy game that in the end saw the Bulls win. Let's listen to Chuck Swirsky make an amazing call, and one that he describes as something that he can't believe he just saw.
Glenn Davis with a handoff to Paul Pierce. Stop and go. Dribble drive. His pass deflected. Stolen by Noah. Noah on the runway. Noah with a right hand. It's done. Count in the foul. I don't believe what I just saw. Choked in. Noah with a steal. Went all the way to the cup with a power slam and won.
As always, an amazing call right there by Chuck Swirsky. How chaotic that situation must have been. But in the end, the Bulls ended up winning and forcing a decisive Game 7. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. A special thank you to Chuck Swirsky for being on today's show. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, and on Twitter at John Z Sports. Also, if you haven't already, subscribe to the website. Simply enter your email address in the subscription box on the homepage. Once you click the confirmation link in the email that's sent to you, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive an email update whenever a new podcast or article is posted. And finally, make sure to find us on iTunes and Google Play. You can search Sports Talk Chicago and we'll pop up right away. From there, you can view all of our podcasts while having the option to leave a review or a 5-star rating. Thank you again for listening to today's show and have a great day.